Welcome to Change My Movie Mind, the debate movie show where Anthony from Tis the Podcast and Jay from Film Strip Podcast take a topic, present opposite sides, ask questions, and then decide who should change their movie mind. I'm your guest judge for this episode, Phil Walsh from Phil at the Movies. Anthony, Jay, welcome to the show.
Bill, thanks for being here. Always good to chat with you. Jay, always good to be back here with you.
Phil, thank you for being a part of our fun little show here and being guest judge. Anthony, as always, good to chat with you. And another time when we don't share notes ahead of time and try to stump each other.
There we go. Order in the court. There we go. I should have brought a gavel or something, but
Everyone says that does the show, and we'll have to get a gavel at
there
some
we go, like a rotating
point.
one. There we go.
Yeah, just share it between everyone.
Right. Our topic is this movie can never be remade. Anthony and Jay will each present a movie they will argue can never be remade. We will hear a rebuttal from the opposite side, have an open Q&A section, and then present final arguments. After that, I will decide who wins that round of Change My Movie Mind. There are two rounds in this show, and each round is worth 1 point. Jay currently holds a 3-2 lead on Anthony from the previous two shows in the series for those keeping score at home. Gentlemen, are you ready to begin?
Ready as I'll ever be.
All right, now.
I suppose so. Let's bring it.
All right, onward.
I'll go first. Yes.
Anthony, you.
So, esteemed judge, fellow debater, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I stand here before you today that say remakes are not inherently a bad thing. It's not inherently a bad word, like a lot of people seem to think it is. Having said that, some movies just cannot be remade for various reasons. They're just so iconic they can't be touched, or they represented such a moment in time, it would never work if you were to try to do it again in the modern age. One such movie. There are plenty of these movies. You could talk about The Wizard of Oz, tons of classics, but one such movie, I'm gonna take us back to 1996 here and dive into the horror genre a bit and say that Scream can never be remade. In fact, I'll say not only should it never be remade, but it could never be remade. Scream has left an indelible mark on the horror genre when it was released in 96, and part of that is it was such a snapshot in time. It's completely incompatible currently, or not as compatible, I should say, with the contemporary landscape. I believe it all started with a phone call with one of the taglines of one of the sequels, and it's true. The technology has evolved to such a point that, look, Scream sequels are still being made, but let's be real here. None of them are as scary or as effective as that opening scene in Scream
I would like it
when.
entered into the record that my colleague who has argued with me about Scream sequels has just admitted that they all suck. I just want that in the record. Noted,
Touche.
noted.
There is none of them are as scary as that opening screen sequence of Drew Barrymore, where she answers the phone, no caller ID. It's a landline, no cell phones, no texts. And she just has a conversation with a stranger who starts harassing her and calling and calling and calling before eventually, he won't hang up. She can't call the police. The phone is used as a tool of terror in that original Scream movie. Not only that, but this movie, the use of the phone in that original Scream movie saw sales jump like 120% for caller ID between that movie and Scream 2, which is incredible. You just can't, if you remade Scream nowadays, everyone has a phone in their pocket, everyone has voice changing apps and texting and technology, it just does not work as well. The only reason the Scream sequels do as well, and I am an unabashed fan of the Scream sequels, but the only reason they continue to do as well today is because we are invested in the story. It is a long-running franchise. We are invested in Sydney and Gale and Dewey and rest in peace. And the Carpenter sisters, rest in peace, early story. But we're invested. If you tried to remake Scream now, it wouldn't work. Not only that, but the twist. The twist in that original Scream, the success of Scream in part hinges on that groundbreaking twist. It's something nobody in the audience expected. People in the audience were literally gasped out loud when that second killer was revealed. And you can't, if you remade it now, that twist wouldn't be as effective. It doesn't matter if you change the killer's identities. You're still expecting the two killer twist. It would not work in a remake. It just could not. And let's talk about the social implications of Scream. Scream has to be examined through the broader lens of the time. The original film was a product of its time, reflecting the zeitgeist of the 90s. It grappled with media saturation and voyeurism and blurring the lines between reality and fiction, all of which were particularly salient in the aftermath of the O.J. Simpson trial. And like, trying to transplant these themes into modern day, just it would be reductive and disingenuous. Our modern day anxieties have evolved in intervening years, social media, and guess what? The Scream sequels have done that. And no matter what anyone says about Scream 4, how good a movie it is, or not good a movie it is, nobody will argue it can live up to the first one. None of the Scream sequels can. Scream cannot be remade. It just can't be. It wouldn't be as effective. The twist, the technology, the moment in culture, and may I point out, we are living in what many critics have deemed a second golden age of horror. Scream came out when horror was dead. It literally resurrected the entire horror genre. You can't remake Scream during an age where a horror movie is coming out and making bank at the box office every other weekend. It just wouldn't be as effective or work as well. So, Scream, ladies and gentlemen, could not and should not be remade. It's too. It has its place in the 90s, and that is where it should stay.
All right. Thank you, good sir.
Thank you.
Anthony, you make a strong argument for a movie that, in and of itself, is an amalgamation of the things that came before. And as you say, it resurrected the slasher or horror genre, but it also is responsible for killing it right quick. Might I recommend everyone go and check out the first remake of Black Christmas, as example of what I'm talking about. So here's the thing. Scream, when it came out, was a return to form in the horror slasher genre because we had gotten into parody on top of itself. We were now rooting explicitly for the monstrous killer to take out the ingenues throughout the entire cast, because those cast members represented archetypes of everyone we hated in high school. Every Jason and Freddy movie had become that. And Jason, even though he didn't speak, was the avatar for all that unrequited anger. And Freddy, who could speak, was the avatar for all of our unrequited dreams as bad stand-up comedians. Wes Craven himself will tell you this. Even the opening lines, Drew Barrymore says, yeah, the rest of them sucked. She knew. He knew then. It wasn't the right thing. And Scream, in and of its essence, they even talk about it in Scream 5. It's hilarious. Jack Quaid has this whole back and forth with Melissa Barrera in the car when she's trying to describe it to him. He says, that sounds a lot like Halloween. That really sounds a lot like Halloween. And Kevin Williamson will tell you, yeah, I pretty much just remade Halloween. And they're not wrong, with a little bit of modern sensibility, modern for the 90s time. So I say all of that to say, Screaming in of itself was not an original piece. It was a collection, a greatest hits of great ideas packaged in a self-referential, very Gen X into the millennial way of looking at the world and looking at entertainment that captured a moment in pop culture. And if you go back and look at the milestones of horror movies throughout all of the generations, going all the way back to Nosferatu, they all capture something about what's going on in the moment in the cultural zeitgeist of America and really the world around us. They're all allegories for all these things. And we can get kind of deep on that if we want to, but just to stay with Scream for a minute, Scream was just the CD, the compact disc version of all of that stuff that had happened before. So in and of itself, it's a remake of a lot of things.
Ooh.
And not a bad one either, because what it did is it brought together the elements that worked in all of those films, and then they struck gold by catching that cast of people who were all on TV, a couple had done some movies, but they hadn't all hit yet. And they minted every one of them, and they got a guy who really understood how to direct in the genre and had a lot of hits and misses himself. Wes Craven would have told you that. And they got behind a guy who had a real vision for writing what I would call accelerated teenage dialogue. Kevin Williamson writes dialogue for the smartest teenagers that have ever existed on Earth. They like blow the SATs out of the water with their vocabulary because no one really talks like that. But he loaded them up with that. And what if the smart kids also had the pop culture knowledge built in? Scream itself is a horror movie about people who watch horror movies and know they're in a horror movie. That's what makes it fun to watch. But to say that idea can't be redone again, holy smokes, they're redoing it all the time. Five Nights at Freddy's is the same idea, just packaged in a different way. Let's take something from your pop culture past, Chuck E. Cheese, the animatronic thing, and let's also, it's based on a video game that people have played, and let's just deal around with some quirky darkness and weirdness, and let's get one of the randos from the Hunger Games franchise and throw him in there, and we'll also have some weird subplots, and there's guns and all kinds of other things. That movie's another problem, but it's the same idea. It's getting repackaged again and again and again. And right now, horror really its leading foot is what we're really doing right now, man. We are living off The Exorcist. We are living off of like religious horror for like a big way right now. And I think it's cool that we're into that mode, but it comes around all the time. The dial turns, and we'll get to slasher renaissance again. So, will they ever remake the original Scream? Probably not, because it's such a big property they can keep doing sequels. And now that we've invented legacy sequel, which is kind of the soft reboot thing, they've already done it, with that twice, four and five are soft legacy reboots of the series. Will they ever do it? I don't know, but could they? 100%, because it's a formula, and it's a formula that in the right hands with the right people and also the audience. And this is the key thing to know about Scream. Scream caught everybody when everyone had written off horror movies. They were just a joke. It was Leprechaun in space time. We're done with the genre. And it came out and it slowly grew. And when it came out, it was kind of a thing. And then a couple of weeks, and then everybody started talking about it. Everybody started talking about it. And the next thing you know, it's one of the biggest franchises of all time, especially one of the biggest opening entries of all time. So much so that they threw that sequel together in less than a year, which is pretty amazing in modern filmmaking. For the 90s. So they can do it, and I argue they will do something like that again along the way. So Scream is iconic, no doubt. Top five slasher movie of all time. Will never disagree with you on that. Love that first movie, no doubt. Could it be remade? 100% it could be remade.
Jay, I have to say, I love you, man, and I respect you. But the idea that just because it borrowed from other horror movies makes it a remake in and of itself is absurd. Every movie, Hollywood, is so depleted of original ideas. Every movie in every genre borrows from what came before it. Horror, action, comedy. It's all been done before, will all be done before. And to call something like Scream, which borrowed, you are 100% correct. What makes it successful is it was very self-aware of its source material. But to call its plot and its twist and its own unique story, a remake in and of itself for borrowing. I just don't buy that. And to make the comparison, sir, to Five Nights at Freddy's, which I know that was a low blow, my friend. Look, you are not wrong in that Scream 5 and Scream 4 were both attempted soft reboots. But you are wrong that I mean, you didn't allege this, but they could neither of them reach the pinnacle of success critically or commercially as that original Scream did. That original Scream, like you said, top five slasher, you're not arguing that. I don't think anyone would argue that. But what makes it so such lightning in a bottle was because at the time, you're right, everything you said, yeah, but I'm going to argue the opposite here. It was such lightning in a bottle. Like the cast, the writing, the technology, the zeitgeist at the time, the twist, which hadn't been done like that before. That was a wholly unique twist. It can never be remade. It just can't. It would
Well,
never work as well. Yes, I know
let me rebut
you.
one thing you just said there, the idea of that twist being wholly unique. You've seen and you've read Agatha Christie's stories, right? You've seen plays and movies based off of her
Yes.
works, right? You've
Yes.
seen and read Twilight Zone and Outer Limits and things like that. Are they not built on the same idea of that surprise twist? That, better yet, isn't the original like Scooby-Doo cartoon, it's all built on that same twist. Like it's old Mr. Johnson, or whatever. Like that
The
idea.
twist of two killers working in tandem.
It's also based on something in history. That's Leopold Loeb. That was the twist of that. And what we know now about the Jack the Ripper killer is it probably wasn't just one person. It's, I mean,
Yeah,
Kevin Williamson is an archivist.
nobody is arguing that point. What I'm arguing is at that point, that twist was so resonant. People were shocked by it. People loved it because it hadn't been done before. Now it's you watch Scream 4, 5, 6, 2, 3. Well, nope, not 3.
You're trying to
It's
figure out who the two are. That was the twist of three, is that there wasn't another one,
It's
right?
become a, it's almost become a parody of itself. You're expecting at least two killers
Right.
now.
Right. Well, I mean,
But
in the sequel, that's the as Randy
in
in the
Scream
thing
1,
says, you put up the ante.
they played it straight and it worked. And they can't remake that and capture that same magic to the same degree.
So
They
let
can't
me make
because
sure I let
you
me.
make a remake called Scream. You make a remake called Scream. A remake called Scream.
Of the
So,
original movie.
of the original movie, so you're assuming Sydney, the character of Sydney, is back in high school.
Okay.
I
You got to
look,
reset the whole dial.
you're gonna reset it all. You're
Sure.
gonna, you know, there are gonna be two killers. You know
Okay.
it. It's not gonna work as well. The twist, the reveal, the mystery is not gonna work as well. You can't remake it. And Scream 5 and 6, as much as I adore those movies, and you know I do. With the new technology, it doesn't work as well. It's not as scary as somebody calling a landline, no caller ID. Like it could be anyway. It's for example, the one with the killer upstairs.
When a Stranger Calls.
Another one.
They did remake that in the cell phone era, and it worked pretty well, by
It did not, but that's a
the
topic for another time.
way. Disagree.
Just like Halloween's remake did not work well. There are certain movies that just cannot be remade because it was a moment in time and it's held as such a standard. And I have to, let me ask you, because I would like to ask you a question, Jay. Would you advocate for a remake of Scream?
Would I advocate for it? Not necessarily, but that's my own personal taste. Do I think it that someone in a studio 10, 15 years from now won't look at that and go, it's time to get back to the original thing. Let's reintroduce this whole situation for everybody. Yeah, I the cynical person who knows how movies are made and understands how studios work can totally see that conversation happening. Yeah. 100%.
Okay, if that's a that's a, that conversation's been happened with every movie in Hollywood history,
Yeah,
frankly.
totally. Yeah.
The idea of can a movie can be made, I interpret it as can it be made successfully?
Oh, you well, could it work again is what you're asking. And to answer your question, I'm not
It
putting it
could
off.
it.
My answer to that is yes, but I don't want to tell you why yet until I do final arguments because I don't want to spoil it. Because I do have a way you could remake it with the same, everybody's the same, but you wanted to do the twist. I've got your twist for you.
I would argue it could not, and I don't. It just could not. It could not. Yeah, I could see them doing a prequel with Maureen, but to remake the original with Sydney, it would never work. Sydney Billions do. You're never going to get that lightning in a bottle again. It's never going to be successful. It should never be touched. Just like John Carpenter's Halloween should never have been touched.
All right, is that your final argument?
No, that's not my final argument. That was my
Well,
final rebuttal to you.
I say let's move into final arguments then, because as I said, my rebuttal to that is my final argument. So, because I had a feeling you might do this, and so I thought of this ahead of time. This was on
Look.
my list, so.
Look, ladies and gentlemen of the jury, our esteemed judge here, is there somebody in Hollywood right now looking at the properties that they own and saying, this movie should be remade? Of course. Spyglass. Yeah, you're telling me when they fired Melissa Barrera before they got Neve Campbell signed back on, a thought didn't pop in their head, you know what? Let's just scrap all sequels and go back to the beginning. Of course they did. It is a cynical ploy. Yeah, look, when. Because when this movie is remade, because every movie is going to be remade eventually, it is not going to be successful. It's just not. And we've seen what happens when successful horror movies are remade. They're panned. Halloween 2007 has become a joke. Look, Sydney, Gale, and Dewey. They will always be frozen in time in 1996 as Neve Campbell, Courtney Cox, and David Arquette were at the time. And with landlines and horror movie tropes, like the classic horror movie tropes nowadays, you don't get you Randy would be giving Mindy's speech about requels and remakes and everything. No, like Scream is one of the greats that should not be touched. It will forever be on that Mount Rushmore of horror slashers that Ghostface is sitting comfortably beside Michael Myers up there, and the two of them are laughing at any fool who dares to try to respin their legacy. So, Jay, I give the floor to you for your final argument, and I can't wait to hear this movie pitch.
I'm going to use my final argument as the pitch. Judge Anthony, I come into your office and I say, gentlemen, it's time to remake Scream, and we're going to go back to the beginning. We're going to do the whole thing, and here's how we're going to do it. First, it's going to be a period piece. We're going to set this bad boy right back in the 90s. So we eliminate the tech problem, and now we make everybody nostalgia, especially all the parents who are going to take their kids to see it because I went and saw this. You'll dig this too. And even the new fans of Scream are like, okay, let's go back and see what they do with it. And the one difference that I'm going to give you, the twist that will blow the minds, Sydney's one of the killers. Her and Billy are involved in it. Boom, that's how you get it done. Now, will that be successful? You bet it'll throw bank out huge on that first weekend. And then it'll drop like a stone, but we'll make it back on that first weekend. And that's all anybody cares about anyway. Scream in and of itself, Anthony, you're right, is an iconic horror movie in the slasher genre. I love this idea of Mount Slashmore, by the way. We must have like AI generate this for us at some point because I would it'd be hard to narrow it to four, but I'm with you. Ghostface has got to be on it. I think we got it. We got to have Ghostface on that mantle. And then, but because of that, it's one of those things that I think will get remade eventually. It's already been soft remade twice. They will do it, but I think it could be. And I think it could work too, because with and to every generation, two things happen. A Slayer is born and a new audience is born. And there'll be one for a new Scream remake one day. I rest my case.
All right, then. Well, gentlemen, that was very compelling. I have to say, both of you made passionate cases for and against. And this was a knife's edge. Like, I could flip a coin either way, but that, of course, wouldn't be true justice. You know, I was with Anthony from the beginning, because, I mean, sidebar, I am not a fan of remakes. I mean, I generally think they're inferior products, but that's a topic for another day. But Jay, I have to give it to you. You sold me with that pitch, because that is just crazy enough and different enough that, yeah, will it tank like a rock in the second weekend? Of course, they'll change that faster than a baby's diaper. But you know what? That opening weekend, that would be enough. And with that said, I have to give you that 1 point, Jay. So round one, I will give to Jay. But it was close. I have to say, if you hadn't come in with that, I would have had to give it to my man Anthony. But it was that sold the deal. If I was sitting, you know, at the, you know, behind the desk of a studio, I'd be like, okay, let's go. We don't need a script. Just go.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? I would say to that studio head, enjoy your run into the ground franchise, because you're getting rid of your final girl from the outset.
And that's why I will be running a movie studio.
Fair enough. Great argument as always, Anthony.
Yes, you too.
As I said, in the back of my head, I was like, there's a couple of different ways he could go with this. I think Scream might be on the docket. So I just...
I do need to know, which other ones did you think I might go?
Well, I'll tell you that at the end, because one of them was one I considered that I will not be presenting, but we'll do that at the end. How about that?
Okay.
All right, Jay.
Well, wow, that was an impassioned speech, Anthony. Judge, I'm really taken aback here, because I'm going to go in a different direction. We're going to go in a different genre here. We're going to go to 1985, though, because the movie that I think from that year that cannot be remade is Back to the Future. Let me tell you why. It's really built around the central premise. The central premise of Back to the Future, written by Bob Gale, was he bumped into a yearbook of his dad's from his dad's senior year of high school, and he started flipping through it, and he realized very quickly the things his dad was involved in and the things he was into in high school, he would not have been friends with his dad. In fact, he probably would have bullied his dad. And he kind of got this germ of an idea in his head, and the central premise of an idea that a teenager wouldn't have been friends with his dad in high school, but now has to befriend him to keep his life from completely erasing, is a fantastic idea. And it's one that works for a very specific generation of kids. The joke is today is, hey, kids are friends with their parents today. And that is somewhat true. The relationship dynamics have changed. They've evolved over the years for a lot of different reasons we don't need to get into today. But the central piece of the idea that you could take a kid from 1985 and put him back in 1955, the world around him pretty much still works the same. There's payphones, there's phone books, there's addresses, there's school rules, there's, you know, dynamics, there's bullies, there's all the things that gone on between the two. But if you took a kid from 2024 and you said, okay, we're going to go back to 30 years prior, well, the biggest difference would be that the internet was really slow and cell phones were really expensive. All right. But that world is totally different than the world that they live in today. The difference between the 50s and the 80s, there wasn't a lot of difference, because we were trying to relive the nostalgia of the 50s in a lot of ways as a society in the 1980s. Nobody's trying to relive the 90s right now. Maybe we would in grocery store prices. Let's all agree to that. But and gas. But, you know, nobody's trying to relive that environment, or they don't think about it in that way, that sort of lovelorn way that the 50s were romanticized in the 80s. What do we try to do? We like the 80s. We like the 70s. We like a little bit of the 2000s. You got 50 channels on Sirius that'll get you anything you want at any time. That central premise wouldn't work anymore. the cell phones and the internet would only be jokes. And here's the thing, the real way to make that movie is a way that's too bold and too daring and brings up too many prickly things for a what is basically a comedy, you know, in a lot of ways is a romantic comedy. To flip the gender, flip the races, things like that. We start getting into some real places that that movie didn't really want to go to and that we don't want to go to as a large audience. That's not that kind of movie. So Back to the Future is one of those. It got two sequels, you know, that were right behind it, and they were really tied together with each other. And you can argue about how good or not they are. But that original one, you talk about a unique piece of art and a unique piece of time. That's that movie. That movie cannot be remade. Anthony.
Jay, you make a very interesting argument here. And I would just like to start out by thanking you. I feel blessed you picked a movie I could easily rebut. I would like to point our esteemed judge and members of the jury to a movie that came out last year. Hit Amazon Prime streaming. It starred Julie Bowen and Kieran Shipka. It was a little movie called Totally Killer. Now, granted, it wasn't Back to the Future. It was Back to the Future with a horror spin. It was a girl who gets sent, who travels back in time, gets stuck back in time in 1987. And what happens? She immediately realizes technology doesn't work. She's not friends with her mama, and she has to develop that friendship to get back without erasing history and get back to the future. And yeah, I mean, Back to the Future, you are correct. Nobody is nostalgic for the 90s, but Back to the Future could take place in any span of time. You could make Back to the Future 2010 and still set it in the 80s. I go back to the 80s. People are nostalgic for the 80s now. That's the biggest thing now. Stranger Things, all these films and TV shows set in the 80s. Back to the Future would work incredibly well if we made a movie with somebody from my generation, for example, or slightly younger than me, slightly older than me, goes back in time to the 80s when their parents were in school. That story translates incredibly well to different time periods. Now, you are correct. Nobody wants to relive the 90s, but you could still do it in the 80s. People want to relive the 80s, and you could easily set it in the early 2000s, early or 2010s, travel back to the 80s, do the same exact story, just updated for a modern audience. I think it's incredibly easy to do. You could still have the parental subplot. You could still have the cool car. You could still have the cool, it would be cool 80s music, and then cool, you would be bringing music from the Lady Gaga back to the 80s. I don't know. But the point is, Taylor Swift, Lady Gaga, I don't know. The point is, you could pick a big superstar from the 2000s that generation loves and transfer to the 80s and have fun with it. And it works incredibly well. And I would argue the Biff character works. I mean, Biff in the original Back to the Future, obviously Biff was from the 80s. No, he was from the 50s. But placing him in the 80s, he works even better. Because if there is one decade of bullies on the big screen where they are tough and like extraordinarily violent, like holy crap, how did these people not get arrested? It was the 80s. Just watch any teen movie from the 80s and the bullies taking a knife and carving letters in their victim's stomach like it's a joke. So Biff would work incredibly well in the 80s. So I think Back to the Future is ripe for a remake. And go ahead. Could be remade, and I would dare say will be remade within our lifetimes.
So I would like to cite debate case Caruso v. Skipworth 2024, when I said Five Nights at Freddy's was inspired by Scream and was a Scream-like remake. as a rebuttal to how you say Totally Killer is an inspired like remake of Back to the Future. I look at my letterbox. I said it's Back to the Future meets, I don't know, Friday the 13th 4 or something like that. And I was for that because I think it's funny the way that they play, and they play it as a joke in that. But it's the peanut butter and chocolate mixing of the things. It's the post Freddy versus Jason Alien v Predator world that we all live in now, and we live in it forever because there's a new Godzilla movie that's doing this now, and the Avengers and all those things. We live in the team up, world now. But just because they did that, that's not a remake of Back to the Future. And I don't even know that it owes a lot to Back to the Future, just that there's time travel involved and the 80s are involved. So I would cite that as rebuttal to that point. But to your end, that, like I said, for Scream, you could set it as a period piece, 100%. You're right. But it would, I dare say, it would play very surface and very shallow because we have to put ourselves back into the mindset of the 1980s. And I may be the only person on this podcast that was actually alive when this movie was released. And remember this, guys, the way we talked about and looked at and again loved 1950s culture in the mid 1980s is it is a love affair with pop culture that I can't explain to anyone else that if you didn't live through it. It is something very specific that does not exist anymore today. And a lot of it is because we have created avenues of access, which I think are great, by the way, that you can get your hands on anything. Anthony, if you and I wanted to go and review horror films from the 1930s, it would take us a couple of clicks of a button and about $9.99 a month to pull together a library to do that. And we could do it, right? I mean, we're talking in two completely different time zones over the internet to record this thing. We would have never thought of something like that when we were, younger, especially when I was younger and stuff. So we've created avenues of access to all this stuff that we just didn't have in the 1980s. In the 1980s, man, even getting a VHS tape was a big deal. We didn't have the knowledge of what was there. We only had the romanticized vision passed down through the generations. And that's the funny part of Back to the Future is that his dad and mom seem like such losers to him because he can't relate to him at all because they don't know how to tell him what it was like when they were kids, other than, oh, your dad got hit by the car and took me to the Fish Under the Sea dance and all that nonsense that they're always doing at the table there with the Leah Thompson makeup and whatnot. He has to see it for himself to believe it and then really get drawn into it. And taking a kid today who would know about the 1980s or 90s or whenever you wanted to set this, they would have a good sense of what that this all was. Also, their parents had been much more transparent with them than parents in the 80s were with their kids about things. They would have a much better way of it to operate around, much like the Kieran Shipkin character in Totally Killer. She like adapts very quickly to her
But
surroundings. I say because you would go in with all that preloaded knowledge and at least access to it in your brain, your cultural zeitgeist, it wouldn't be as fun and it wouldn't work as well as the gags in Back to the Future do. And the real gag is that history just repeats itself over and over, right? And you could do that again, but I don't know if it would play as funny.
So I think you're underestimating how much nostalgia people do have for the 80s and 90s. There's a reason Stranger Things is the biggest show on streaming right now. It's because, yeah, people know what the 80s are like. You get down your fingertips, you see pictures of your parents from that time, but people want to experience it. That could still 100% work. And it's one thing to know your parents grew up during this time, see pictures of them, but then to go back to the 80s and actually meet your parents during this time, it would still be the fun fish out of water. Holy crap, my mother was wearing the really tight spandex and was a babe, while dad was a geek getting beat up by Pennywise the clown outside. I don't know. It's still there.
That took a dark turn.
It's still, you still have all the opportunities for fun and jokes and the fish out of water thing. And it still works. Like, if I went back to the 80s, if any of us went back, well, maybe you lived through it. So, if I went back to, no offense, that was not a dig. If me or Phil or somebody of our generation went back now, yeah, we grew up with shows about the 80s, movies about the 80s, internet at our fingertips. You would still be lost in a complete fish out of water getting sent back without Google at my fingertips, without a phone that works, without the internet at my fingertips. Like, how would I, like, I would still have trouble navigating the world or doing my research how to get back without all of that knowledge at my finger. It could 100% work that you still have to find the doctor to get him to help you send you back to the future. And the whole idea that history repeats itself, yes, that it's a story. It's this is why movies get remade. History repeats itself. History repeats itself, and people are with it's still fun for people. That's why Scream will eventually get remade, despite everything, despite my wishes. That's why every movie will. That's why this movie will eventually get remade. Guess what? It would be a success.
So I'm going to go into my final argument here real quick, because we've talked a lot about 80s nostalgia, and I don't disagree with anything you've said there. But to be a remake, if they really wanted to remake it, they would do the same story again. And the idea of you go 30 years back to make this all happen would be sending somebody from 2024 to 1994. All right. And would that premise work the same way? Because you got to remember, we're 1994, where we were. It's very different than 1955 and 1954, for Marty and his crew. The biggest differences would be the technology and the fact that the technology still existed. It would just be in a much rudimentary form. So what would be funny is watch him to try to get on dial up and try to, I'm going to go to Google. What the heck is Google? All of we would have those kind of jokes. And would they play? Yeah, for a cheap laugh. But the central idea of having to befriend someone that you're not friends with in the modern day and that you wouldn't think you would be friends with because you have to for your own survival. Well, kids from in 2024 probably have a lot more in common with their parents in 1994 than Marty did with his parents in 1955 and from 1985. So to me, that's why this movie can't be remade. And finally, because the fun element of it, the thing that you can use, has been used already. And we, you know what? We don't have to deal with all that sociopolitical nonsense. Let's just take the time travel element and let's throw it in a slasher movie, because that'll be fun. Totally Killer. I love that movie. It's hilarious. Let's do that. So people just take the element that they want without buying the whole steak. See what I mean? So that's why I say Back to the Future can't be remade.
I think you're underestimating how different the 90s were from 2024. 94 to 2024. There's a before time and an after time. You see the memes all the time that my generation was the 9/11 generation, the two recessions generation, everything like that. The 90s were looking pretty good in comparison. Like a completely different world than the world I grew up in as a teenager.
Yeah, having lived through it, I can agree to that, by the way. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think there is enough difference there, and that could be almost half the fun. That's how you almost remake it. He goes back to the 90s and realizes it's actually a pretty damn good time compared to the time I'm from. Like, ain't so bad. Like, come on, Dad, man up. Like, you're living through the time. Enjoy the next 6 years before the world goes to hell. Half the fun is he'd be experiencing the better life, but you still have the fish out of water. Things are almost going too well for him in the past, and I think you still have the fun. You could bring you sent back a I don't know, Tesla or something. That's the modern, some modern
Well, then we
futuristic
know he would
car.
never get back for sure, because those don't
Well,
work.
exactly. But like, there are ways to do it, because here's the thing with Back to the Future. What really makes that work? The fish out of water stuff is all fun and the time travel, whatever. But why that I think it could be remade and set kind of like any 30-year interval is because the core of that story is the heart of that story, the emotional resonance of that story is a boy going back in time and learning and kind of seeing what his parents are like, relating to his parents, befriending his parents, saying, okay, they didn't have it so easy. They may be the strict, uptight people now, but it's that lesson is universal and be set any 30 years, and that's still a lesson, despite how open parents are now with their kids nowadays. I still don't know, like, any mom who's gonna say, you go, I'm sure they exist, especially like out in LA and stuff, but like for the most part, still, moms are talking to their kids like, oh, I almost boned this guy named Calvin Klein from the 80s. Like, it's still like, see, again, seeing it is one thing, experiencing it is another. And I think Back to the Future could very easily, with those universal themes that transcend space and time, be remade in any 30-year interval, including today. It could be done very easily today.
All right, gentlemen. Well, once again, very impassioned and strong arguments on both sides. And I mean, this is one I really could make a case for both sides, but I have to give it to you, Anthony, on this one. And I think the reason is escapism is a powerful drug, shall we say, in the movie arsenal. And again, as much as it would pain me to see this film be remade, and I just have to say, while I would never advocate boycotting a movie, this would be one film that I would never go see at all because the original film is the definition of a timeless classic. I could see this film inevitably getting some kind of a remake, updated version within the next decade. I just think there's too much money on the table. There's too much desire for nostalgia. And at the end of the day, the film has an escapist quality. And I can see that being the vehicle to say, hey, let's put this back in the early 2010s or something, jumping it forward another decade and a half or so. So sadly, I think it probably will be remade. But Anthony, that's a point for you, my friend.
I'll never close this 1 point gap, but great arguments, Jay.
We will get to that in the future, but I will say this. While I agree, I don't think this film, I will argue this film cannot be remade. I do think it would be a hella television series. And I really think that's where this could be mined for all of its gold is in television. And I do think you could get a good series out of this thing.
It's funny, as guys were going back and forth, I thought the same exact thing. Like, that might be the kind of way to have your cake and eat it too, because 2.5 hours or whatever it is, you're limited. But imagine 8 or 10 episodes. Yeah, you could have a great time with this.
Yeah, it's a world to explore, so for sure.
Yeah,
So
definitely.
I have
and then instead of going back to the old West, you go back to the 50s as homage to the
yeah,
original
there you
Back to
go.
the Future.
Right. There you go. That's a good call. Anthony, I have to know what else was on your potential docket before I tell you what my other what else what I thought you were going to do.
Are you ready for this?
Yeah, go for it.
Scream. That was it. That was
That
the
was it. That was the
one.
only
That was
thing.
it. I was not
Wow.
prepared with anything else. And then when I saw the outline, saw that I was going first, I was like, phew, safe. That one just came to mind, and that was the one I wanted to argue.
All right. Well,
Fascinating.
I thought you might throw Jaws at me. And that was my backup plan. So I had that one in the hopper here too for a whole different set of reasons. But I thought you might throw it at me. So I moved Back to the Future up because I thought, well, I don't think he'll pick that one, but he might pick Jaws. Let's see what happens. What did you think I would bring, just for curiosity's sake?
I actually thought Jaws might have been on your list because I know
It
how much you
was,
love
yeah, and
that movie.
I outthought it, yeah. So, Phil, real quick from you, off the top of your head, anything you think can't be remade? We won't debate it, but I'm just curious.
I think Jaws is right up there. That film is perfection. You wouldn't be able to replicate it without those three performers, Dreyfus, Shaw, Scheider. I mean, I could see an argument where you could say, well, we're going to adapt the book more faithfully, but at the end of the day, you're just carbon copying the classic. And I'm a believer, don't mess with perfection, and that would be an atrocity to try and
Plus,
remake Jaws. Another
because
one
there's no
I
doubt a remake would show the shark way too
Well, that's
much.
the thing. You're going to overexpose the shark, and part of the genius of that movie is you don't see the shark. And then it's like, well, then you have the music. So like, it's just the whole, it's a whole messy sinking situation, shall we say. Another one, The Wizard of Oz. in its original form. I just can't see you ever trying to top that film. I mean, again, without Judy Garland, without Margaret Hamilton, like it's just that again, that was lightning in a bottle. And yes, you can have reimaginings and prequels and wicked versions down the road. You just can't come close to matching that film. Yeah, those would be the top two.
So you're saying
Yeah.
Mila Kunis's portrayal of the Wicked Witch didn't do it for you?
No comment on that one. No comment on that one. I think that probably
Indeed.
speaks volumes enough.
Alrighty, Anthony,
I'll plead
close
the
us
fifth
out.
on that one.
Well, thank you everyone for joining us once again for Change My Movie Mind.
You can also connect with either show through social media at Tis the Podcast or at Filmstrip Podcast. Phil, thank you for presiding over our discussion.
My pleasure. Absolutely, guys. Thank you for having me. Definitely have to try to do this again because you guys are great contestants, shall we say?
Tell folks how
Well,
they
you
can
were.
follow you.
Yes, you can follow me on social media. All the information will be in the show notes, I'm sure. I have a show every Friday, Phil with the Movies, talk about movie cinema, all for the love of movies. I really appreciate you would give that a follow and a listen as well. But all the best to you guys. Thanks for having me.
And I will say, Jay, you got to get Phil on Filmstrip proper because this guy knows his stuff.
Indeed, we will have to do that for sure.
Likewise, likewise.
But folks, we will talk to you again next time for another round of Change My Movie Mind.
Thank you.